Support for IPR and this podcast comes from the IMT Des Moines Marathon, October 19th and 20th, with 8 race events including the full and half marathons, marathon relay, 5K, and more. Deadline for spring pre-registration is April 21st. Register at DesMoinesMarathon.com.
It's Talk of Iowa from Iowa Public Radio. I'm Charity Nebbe. This hour, two of Iowa's biggest internet sensations. In about a half an hour, I'll talk with Gideon Kidd, the young man behind the Twitter handle I've Pet That Dog. But first, the Decorah Eagles. Back in 2007, the first Decorah Eagle Cam went live, and over the last 12 years, hundreds of millions of people have watched the eagles raise their young. This time of year is the most popular time of year for watching the eagles. First, we breathlessly await the spring hatch, and now we're watching the eagle parents care for their tiny eaglets. If you are a Decorah Eagle Cam fan, this is your opportunity to ask questions. You can give us a call at 866-780-9100. You can tweet us at Iowa Public Radio. You can send email to talkofiowa@iowapublicradio.org. And with me now, John Howe, director of the Raptor Resource Project. Hello, John.
Good morning, Charity.
Welcome back to the show. And Amy Reese, his colleague at the Raptor Resource Project, is also here. Good morning, Amy.
Good morning, Charity.
Thank you both for being here. And let's get up to date. There's so much going on at both of the Decorah Eagles nests this year. So, John, let's start with the fishery nest. And last year was a really dramatic year for the Decorah Eagles as Dad Decorah disappeared in the spring and was killed. Tell me what's going on this year.
Yeah, it was literally. I think last time we talked, a lot was up in the air, right?
Mm-hmm.
we were really wondering what was going to happen with possible replacement of Dad Decorah, her beloved male eagle at the nest. And so later in the fall, we did, after Mom selected a number of different male eagles, we had a pair there, pair bonding Mom with an eagle that we called the M2. And so they did continue through the winter months and continued with their pair bonding and copulation and all the good stuff, nest building, all the stuff that needs to happen before eggs are laid. And we were lucky to have 3 eggs laid earlier this year in late February. And one of those eggs did not survive. We're not sure exactly what happened to it, but the eggs, the 2 remaining eggs did just hatch. We just had our celebration event with our folks online with the first hatch, and actually the second hatch that happened a day or so ago. So we are looking at freshly hatched eaglets, and that, like you said, that is really probably one of the most precious times that everybody wants to watch and see what's going on in the starting of the lives of those little eaglets.
Absolutely. Do you know what happened? I know you don't know why that third egg didn't hatch. Is the egg still in the nest?
The egg actually got crushed, and we saw it come out of the nest, kind of stuck to the feathers in the front of Mom Decorah there. And we don't know exactly what happened. We had that snow and then quick attempts of the eagles to bring in soft nesting material over and over again, right about the egg laying time, right prior to that. So we're thinking that, you know, with the ice and the sticks and things like that, they didn't have probably the time to get as much soft nesting material in the bottom of that nest cup. And so it could have been a protrusion or something like that. The other thing that did happen that was of interest is Mom was brooding and incubating the eggs one night, and you know, they have those eggs tucked with their legs. They do that shimmy, and they had the eggs. She had the eggs tucked up close to her brood patch there, and she got hit on the back by what we think probably was a barred owl. Mm-hmm. We see barred owl attacks in the night with the eagles there and up at the North Nest. And just that quick shock, you know, with the egg there, is possibility that could have led to the egg cracking.
And just pushed her forward.
So
You're right. Right now, the eaglets are being all snuggled up, but just about 20 minutes ago, I got to see them. They look wonderful. What's your take on these two eaglets in the fisheries hatchery nest?
Boy, they've been giving us a good show. I'm thinking back. I was just watching a video and saw the live feed too of one of the eaglets. Now, these are two new eaglets, and think about these numbers here. We've got D32 this year and D33. So D33, a little bit smaller, not quite as old, kind of playing catch up, but has been pretty spunky in the nest there. And one of them came up and was trying to get closer. I think it was D32. To get closer to the fish. They stocked the fridge, and there's lots of fish in that nest right now, and that's the primary food source. But D32 kind of came up there close to the egg cup and then fell back, rolled back, and did the little bicycle kick with its legs in the air and then recovered. So just some really fun things to watch. And maybe, you know, Amy can talk a little bit about. We've been really looking at the behavior of what we're wondering whether or not DM2, our new male, you know, how much experience he's had with young in the past. We don't know for sure, and we never will know for sure, but he's been, it looks like, possibly getting his skills honed and learning a little bit.
All right. And well, and I know that obviously both of the parents take care of the young and they alternate really with all the tasks. Amy, how do you tell if the male is taking care of the young or the female's taking care of the young? Can you tell just by looking?
Yeah, they're visually pretty distinct. So the female is larger, but beyond that, she's got what we call gray eyeshadow. Her head has fine, dark veins in the feathers, so her head is darker versus DM2, whose head is snowy white. His eye looks a little different than her eye, so it takes some practice. The first time you watch them, you might not be able to tell, but if you watch them for a while, you'll really see a lot of visually distinct differences. And he is, like John said, now starting to care for his young. We do think he's a new father, although we don't know. And one of the things we've seen is that, well, he's great at egg care. He's good at incubation. He brings a lot of food into the nest. So he's doing a good job, but he's a little more tentative on feeding than the old dad was. So it's one of the reasons we think that he might be a first-time father.
Oh, fascinating. I want to shift now and talk about the other nest. Of course, we're watching two eagles' nests with the Decora Cam. Let's talk about the north nest. What's been going on up there this season?
Yeah, really of interest at both nests. We had a partner change. We lost Dad Decora, and we had DM2 coming in after several other males there. And then at the north nest, we noticed that we had, boy, you know, big happenings there last year. We lost actually the nest in late August, and then as a part of our activities, we decided to go ahead and rebuild that nest. So both nests that we're watching right now started out as man-made nests and now are adapted by the eagles, and they're taking over and taking care of them. But so we saw an eagle come in after we did our tradition of leaving some fresh trout up in the nest and finishing our activities. And what we saw was a new female. You know, we kind of waited for a while to check and see, you know, what was going to happen, but looking at close data, some biometrics type stuff, you know, beak shape and iris of the eyes and things like that, we were able to tell that we had a new female. And the same male, we were able to confirm with close photos from the cameras all the way back to 2016 when we first started watching that north nest, that we had the same male, which we call Mr. North. So new female. Really uncertain what was going to happen. We weren't sure, you know, no history between these two, obviously. So all was new. We were very, very excited when actually the north nest was the first of the two, right, Amy, to lay eggs, I believe, and we had just two eggs laid there, and we had subsequent hatch of those two, and unfortunately, we just, we were really working hard to try to make a call that we actually had a hatch of the two eaglets there that hatched were DN for Decorah North, DN9 and DN10, and barely had enough information to call an official hatch of the second eaglet there. And then the following day, we didn't really see it poking its head up and perking up and trying to get food. So we did lose DN10, that second eaglet. Mm. But DN9 is very lively, and our new female there is doing a great job being an eagle mom, and Mr. North is doing his thing too. He's really very experienced, and like Amy said, it's interesting to see the experience level and just how the eagles kind of work together. We saw dual feeding, combined feeding, which is really neat to see when one eagle is ripping the fish off and handing it to the other eagle, and that eagle is feeding it to the young.
So do you theorize that the new female at the North Nest, do you think that she's also a new mother?
It's really hard to tell. Amy, what's the consensus on that?
Based on what we know about eagle reproductive lives, she's probably a first-time mother. There is eagle divorce that's been documented, and eagles will take new mates when old mates die. But given everything we know, she's statistically most likely to be a new mother. Although, again, like John said, we can't know that for sure.
Right. And are you still tracking the female that was at the North Nest before? Do we know what happened to her?
We don't.
No. We saw that change, and that's the interesting thing that Bob Anderson, we were looking at back in the 2015 and prior time before Bob passed away, and we were looking at ways to try to identify, do we have the same eagle? Because you look at it, and we start looking at these biometric cues from, iris detail,
and we're gonna have
and
to
that's
pick
how
up
we tell.
Just after a break, I'm talking with John Howe and Amy Reese of the Raptor Resource Project. We're talking about the Decorah Eagles. This is Talk of Iowa. It's Talk of Iowa from Iowa Public Radio. I'm Charity Nebbe. Coming up in about 15 minutes, I'll talk with Gideon Kidd. He is the young man behind the Twitter handle, I've Pet That Dog. And if you're on Twitter and you haven't seen it, you should probably take a look at I've Pet That Dog. Right now, we are talking about the Decorah Eagles. And over the last 12 years, hundreds of millions of people have watched the Decorah Eagles raise their young, first at the trout hatchery, Nest, and also a couple of years ago, a camera was added at the Decorah North Nest. And this year, we've got three little eaglets that people are watching right now with me, John Howe and Amy Reese of the Raptor Resource Project. And Amy, have we in the past had a single eaglet raised in a nest before?
Yes, we have. I'm trying to remember what year it was, but John, maybe you remember that.
That would have been 2016. Yeah, at the North Nest, after we had the one eaglet perish, DN3, and then DN2 succumbed to the methamel. And then we had DN1, right? You can follow from there.
Yeah.
All right. And when there's just one eaglet, I can imagine that's really good for that eaglet. All the resources go just to it, right?
Oh, go on, John. I'm sorry.
I was going to say they can get very competitive, and we call it the bonking. And I mentioned a little bit about how they can, the younger ones can be kind of spunky. Amy, you were just quelling some of the videos together and for release, but that's really what happens a lot with the younger ones, right?
Yeah, and, you know, kind of, so on one hand, they get all of the resources, so they get everything, which is great for them. People do sometimes worry that they're not getting, I guess I would say, appropriate socialization without brothers and sisters there to bonk and cuddle with and interact with and play with. But we haven't seen any sign at all the 1 year that we saw it that that is harmful to the eaglet, as far as we can tell, in the sense of resources alone. It's probably a good thing.
Yeah, that nest is a little bit, you know, it's not right next to the Decora fish hatchery, so there's not quite as much available fish and prey there. So you could look at that and say the fewer eaglets there, you know, the better the chances of survival with food being brought in.
So I want to talk about your efforts to track the eaglets that have come out of these nests. And I also want to mention that if you have questions about the Decora eagles, this is a great opportunity to ask your questions. 866-780-9100. You can tweet us at Iowa Public Radio. You can also send email to talkofiowa@iowapublicradio.org. Lots to see at the North Nest today and some beautiful sunshine. And that little eaglet's getting lots of attention. Amy, I know that you've spent a lot of time focusing on tracking the eagles after they leave the nest. First of all, tell me how you do track these eagles. Is every eagle fitted with a sensor?
No, we work with Brett Mandernack of Eagle Valley. He's an eagle biologist who holds the necessary permit. So he comes and traps the eaglets. We've managed to trap siblings once or twice. But we're not always able to trap all of them. And then we track them through a satellite. So this is a satellite transmitter that basically can follow the eagles almost anywhere on Earth they go.
And as you're tracking them, what are you looking for? How much data are you collecting?
We're collecting a lot of data. So we've learned a lot. We've tracked 7 eaglets so far, and we've learned a lot about eaglet lives, sadly about eagle deaths, and then also about what dispersal looks like and what post-fledging life looks like and where eagles go. It's just been amazing to see, to learn more about them, and to start to really understand what we need to do to help them survive and keep them protected.
And of course, they are a protected species. What are the main threats to the Decora eagles as they do disperse and become adults?
In our eaglets, it's been electrocution and then car collision, although there are other threats. So, for example, and John can talk about this more, we've been lucky not to have a lead-poisoned eagle, but that also happens. However, in our eaglets, it's been electrocution and car crashes.
And the electrocution, what happens? Do we know?
Yeah, so in general, they'll make contact between the hot or current-carrying side of an electrical circuit and ground or non-current-carrying side. That will form a circuit basically through the eagle's body and kill them.
So are they hitting power lines?
Yeah, so we had one that we think probably started as a collision, and since that time the company has put swan diverters up on the line so that birds can see them. And then the others, they were perched on a pole and made a contact, and that also killed them. And in general, actually, we've had very good responses when those things have happened as far as then poles being made more safe.
What can be done to make poles more safer? I'm sure eagles perch on them all the time.
Yeah, there's a lot of different things that can be done, but in general, it involves separating the hot, you know, low electricity carrying side of a line from the side or anything that's grounded. So you can put an extender on it to make it longer so an eagle can spread its wings out and not make contact. That's one thing that's done. You can put, and this gets argued about, perches way up above so that, again, there's no chance they'll make that contact. And swan diverters, you'll see them a lot. They're those kind of swirly-looking white or yellow things on power lines. Those are very helpful for all kinds of birds because they help prevent collisions.
With dispersal, is there a different pattern between male eagles and female eagles with how they leave the area where they were raised?
I would say, you know, our study N is still pretty small with 7 eagles. The 2 females we had ended up dispersing a little farther in terms of where they went for their summer range. And that's something you also see actually with peregrine falcons. Males tend to go a little shorter away than the females do. But overall, just in the dispersal patterns themselves, so not migrating between winter and summer grounds, but just sort of how they left their natal area, we haven't seen a whole lot of difference.
Where, how far do they travel?
Our two farthest traveled ones were D1, who we tracked in 2011, and everybody was following her. You know, that was a huge year for the Decorah Eagles.
Right.
She went all the way to Polar Bear Park in Ontario, which is up along Hudson Bay. And then D27 last year went into the western side of the Ontario province. So she was about at the same latitude as her, you know, clutch, her, I don't know, her sister, but across several years, but not in the same longitude. She was west and not east.
Interesting. And you mentioned 2011 being a big year. Refresh our memory. Why was that such a big year for the Decorah Eagles?
It was just the first year that they became, it wasn't the first year they were online, but it was the first year we made the decision we were going to go with 24/7 streaming with a big streamer.
Okay. So millions of people were tuning in.
Everybody could watch it, and they did.
Right. We're talking about the Decorah Eagles right now, and you are welcome to join our conversation. If you're a Decorah Eagle Cam fan, maybe you've shared it with your children. I know a lot of classrooms watch the Decorah Eagles as well. You're welcome to call in with your questions, 866-780-9100. You can tweet us at Iowa Public Radio. You can send email to talkofiowa@iowapublicradio.org. So as you mentioned, Amy, this is a pretty small group of eagles that you've been able to watch, but we've had really special access to these eagles in so many ways. What do you think we've really been able to learn from tracking this group of eagles?
We've learned that they went a lot farther than anyone would ever have expected. I was really surprised when she headed up to Hudson's Bay. We've learned that they have a fair amount of fidelity between wintering and summer ground. The juveniles and subadults travel more than adults, so they wander, whereas adults, especially, of course, once they're on territory, tend to stay put. We've learned that they're a little tighter, I want to say, in their summering grounds and their wintering grounds, but I could have that backwards. So we've learned, you know, again, kind of a lot about the sort of habitat and resources they use as they head out and start the next phase of their lives after they fledge.
Do you ever see any interaction between the family group after dispersal?
After dispersal, not that we know. We were really curious what D24 and D25 would do. They were siblings. They were from a two eaglet clutch in 2016, and they were best buddies when they fledged. They were together all the time, but they ended up going different ways. So that it's not something that we've seen, but it's also something we can't disprove with our data.
Absolutely.
Yeah, we haven't been able to confirm that, but one thing that's interesting, right now we're tracking D24, which is the other male of that pair, 24 and 25, and we are also tracking the female, D27. And the data that Brett shares with us, that Amy posts, postcards from the eagles, they're in the same area. They're in the Decorah area and their natal nest area through a good chunk of the winter in the upper Iowa River and south of the hatchery area there. So we know they're in the same proximity. We just don't have a way to, catch them on camera or something where we've actually seen them with their transmitters sitting together.
Fascinating. Well, I can imagine that, I mean, with so many different species, dispersal is important because that broadens the genetic pool. They don't want to be too close to their family. So do you think that's a big part of why the eagles go their own way, Amy?
I suspect it is, everything we know, although there are cases of, I guess you would say, incest in eagles that have been documented. The general belief is that species disperse to avoid it. So that would be my guess. And I think, too, we talk an awful lot about how eagles think and feel, and I think there's some crossover a little bit between our emotions, but I also suspect they have emotions in ways of thinking that we can't access. I have no idea what it feels like when kind of the fish hook of dispersal starts to pull on an eaglet's brain and causes it to go away from everything it's ever known. I'm very curious about what that would feel like, and I'm not sure we can know.
Right. So you've had hundreds of millions of people watching these eagles over the last 12 years. John, What do you think that means to have that kind of a community out there that's emotionally invested in these eagles, but also learning about the species?
Yeah, that is the thing that is so neat, and we are so lucky to get a lot of the little, you know, the projects and the fruits of the kids that watch from the classrooms. But you mentioned before, you know, what happened in 2011, that viral nature of, you know, over 270 million viewers coming on to watch and learn what happens in an eagle nest back in 2011. And that started up this whole thing of, boy, you know, this is an amazing possibility to educate people, you know, not just about eagles, but connecting them with nature. And so many teachers out there, we have probably close to 1,500 classrooms across the country right now that they, in some form or fashion, they're either watching the live stream in the classroom, or they will come on to our ad-free educational chat, and they will talk and ask questions back and forth with some of our volunteers that are eagle experts answering questions that they have. So that's one of the really neat things, is just the opportunity here to educate young minds, and then there's you know, many of us in the older minds category who still just love to watch nature and learn, you know, that watch it more for enjoyment.
Have you been able to harness this community to invest in eagle protection?
I think, you know, it's hard to quantify that. You know, we know how many people, you know, Amy will write a blog and or we'll put something out on social media, Facebook, and you know, we'll see how many people watch that or read it, or how many hits we get. It's hard to know the actual impact of that, but I think the important part is that we're getting the message out, and we know the groups of and types and numbers of people that we are connecting with. And I think it came up before, you know, one of the biggest issues right now, especially with the eagles, because we're actually retrieving eagles when we get a call in the area that we cover, if we can, you know, is the lead poisoning issue. And, you know, just that issue with lead, it doesn't take much, you know, getting into the digestive tract of an eagle, you know, smaller than a BB is enough to kill an eagle. And it's a tough thing to see, watch, and know that's happening. But, you know, just educating people about the possibility of moving from lead to lead-free ammo, you know, that's just an example of that.
We have Wally on the line in Bradford. Hi, Wally. What's your question?
Well, I wondered if I could get a comment from your guests. I live in north central Iowa, an hour south of Minnesota, and probably equidistant between the Missouri and Mississippi rivers. Eagles have never been a common sight here, ever. They always seem to be found near large bodies of water, and I thought I understood that they were hunters. They were fisher birds of prey and hunters. And increasingly, and I'm asking about a perceived transformation here. Around here, eagles have become very common, and they are seen eating carrion and only carrion, dead deer and dead baby pigs. Has this bird changed significantly? The range has certainly gotten them farther away from large bodies of water where they fished in the wintertime over open water.
Well, yeah, Wally, we don't have a lot of time, so I'll let Amy tackle that. I mean, we're seeing just a lot more eagles in Iowa, so that's certainly part of it. Amy, but what are your thoughts about that?
Whether or not the population has changed is an interesting question, and not one we can answer easily, because they came back. You have to remember, they were persecuted. There was DDT. The population, you know, kind of fell off a cliff. So they came back to a vastly different landscape. However, we do know that they're really good at taking advantage of whatever food source they can find, and I don't think that's changed about them. I think as their numbers grow, their range expands, they're looking for new territory, they need more food, they take whatever they can get, and that's not something that's changed about them.
All right, so they are opportunists, and we certainly
right.
do see them eating a lot of carrion. Here in the Iowa City area, we see them fishing in the Iowa River a lot, but we also see them feasting on carrion. And the carrion is a large part of the problem with lead shot, right?
Definitely. Yeah, the gut piles and just small fragments, you know, that ingested is what will start that that sickening of the eagle or other raptors with lead poisoning.
And not every eagle can live right next to a fish hatchery.
That's true.
A pretty sweet spot for the Decora Eagle's Nest. We are out of time, but John Howe, thank you so much for talking with me today.
You're welcome.
John Howe, director of the Raptor Resource Project. And Amy Reese, thank you so much.
Thank you. This was fun.
Amy Reese of the Raptor Resource Project. And, of course, you can watch the Decora Eagles both at that fish hatchery nest and at Decora Eagle North live anytime, 24 hours a day. Just search for Decora Eagle Cam. There's a lot of activity at the North Nest this morning with a little eaglet hanging out in the sunshine. Coming up in just a moment, I'll talk with Gideon Kidd. He's 10 years old. He has over 200,000 followers on Twitter, and he makes people smile every day on his Twitter account. I've pet that dog. This is Talk of Iowa from Iowa Public Radio.